Alrighty, turn your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I got my stuff. Alrighty, here we go. Is God good? All the time? Hallelujah. Alright, here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything. Say everything. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and goodness. Through these, His glory and goodness, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for everything we need, Lord. We thank you for all that you have given us, Lord. We come this morning and we line up our focus and our purpose upon you this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. That some of us come in dragging. Some of us come in thirsty. Lord, come us looking for more. Looking for something. Fill us up, Lord. Meet us here, Lord. And we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. He has given us all we need. That's a good thing. Amen, it is. We are in a series called Getting Along in the Kingdom. And I'm wondering if we already got all we need. What's the problem in the kingdom? If we already got all we need, I'm wondering, why are you here today? Because he's already given us all we need. See, we got all we need, but we just oftentimes can't figure out how we're going to get to it. We just can't figure out how we're going to use it. Can I get a witness on that? Many of us come in here today looking for all we can get. I want more, Lord. And luckily, he gives us everything. Think of being all you need. Think about that. All you need is more than enough. Everything. Everything. Is more than I need. You ever consider that? Think about it. All you need. And I'm wondering, how much do you need? And I started thinking about that, and it really depends on what we're talking about. Because I think of a ribeye steak. And then I start thinking about all I need. You know, and it's like, yeah, I could use some ribeye. But then we start talking about kale. And I don't need so much kale. And when it comes right down to it, kale gets in the way of my ribeye. And that's the problem. What's getting in the way of what you need? Peter tells us God has already given us all we need. Something's getting in the way. He's given us all we need for a godly life, and it is the corruption of the world that's getting in the way. And he says, the more that you know God, the more that you know about God, the further you're able to move into that divine nature and move away from the world. You're going to be able to spot those challenges. You're going to be able to spot the things that keep you from moving into that divine nature. And so again, I ask you, why are you here today? See, because if you're here looking for that godly life, it's that corruption of the world that is holding you back. It's kind of like a balance beam. You know, we got the godly life. Like, yeah, I want all I can get. But then we got the things of the world, you know, that kind of hold us back. You know, and we try to balance stuff out, you know. I mean, it's like, whoa. I don't know what you got from the world. I two of these things I grabbed out of my car. There's a game today. There's a bunch of games today. And Paul says, or Peter, I'm sorry, Peter says that your grip on the world is what's going to get away of your grasp on the kingdom. And so many of us come in here today and we're just looking for some balance. Man, I can't figure out how to carry all this stuff, Pastor. You know, I'm trying to get some kingdom, but, you know, and what happens is we start loading up on some world stuff, man, you know? And it's like, whoa. And we're trying to, sometimes we just get, you know, I really can't fit it all in. I'll get back to you. And we come to church today saying, Pastor, can you figure out a way to get a little kingdom on my stuff? I'm a little thirsty. Peter's saying it's your grip on the world that's going to get in the way of your grasp on the kingdom. So why are you here today? God gives us everything we need. All we need for a godly life. And if that's what you're looking for, you have come to the right place. Because we're going to be talking about more kingdom today. Hallelujah. All right, let's take a look. All righty. And, I'm just not even going to put any disclaimers on this. Moving toward the kingdom is a challenge. Have you found that to be true? Go start off in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. This is a famous verse. You've probably heard it before. If not, you can underline in your Bible if you got one. Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And you want to move towards kingdom of God, the divine nature, you're going to find a little bit of friction in the kingdom. And I'm wondering, you know, I was thinking about this, if you have ever sharpened a knife. Because if you sharpen a knife, and this is a knife sharpener, this is a knife. And what you do, and I never used, this is from my house, I've never used this. I use a whetstone. But it is friction that sharpens your knife. And the problem with your knife is that it gets burrs in it. There's edges on it. There is spots on there that are rough. And as you sharpen the knife, friction causes those edges to rub off and you leave it clean and sharp. And as we come into the kingdom of God, we come in a little bit rough. Can I get a witness? And so the Lord has various ways and tactics that he will use to clean us up. Bible tells us that the word will wash you, cleanse you. I'm wondering, this week, have you been washed by the word? Have you come into some new knowledge, some understanding of all and everything that the Lord has for you, and some of the stuff in your life that's getting in the way? Because the Word will show you. And the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you. Ask, Lord, come into my life. I surrender my life to you. You died on the cross for me. Come, make me new. The Holy Spirit comes into you and begins to direct you into that new life, into the divine nature, into cleaning and cleansing and away from some of that roughness. And so I'm wondering this week, how has the Lord spoken to you and said, man, you're missing out on a bunch of everything. You're missing out on a bunch of all that I have for you. And sometimes, I mean, the Lord will use the Word, and the Holy Spirit will just speak right to your heart. But sometimes there is that loving Christian that will sometimes be kind of working their balance, you know, and just be bumping into you. And going, man, could you help me out here? Trying to balance what I got going on. He goes, what an irritant that person is to me. And the Lord will use that irritation to rub you right into a little bit more of the divine nature. And all this work of God can create a little friction. Holy Spirit, moving us into the divine nature, moving us into the kingdom. And realistically, we just showed up to play. Come on, Lord. Brother, sister next to you, bumping into you, rubbing on you. Causing some major frustration. And sometimes all that frustration, all that friction just cause you to pop. Not one amen? Where are you, Tommy Banks? Come on. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, 25 to 27. Each of you must stop lying. Start speaking the truth. Because we are all members of one body. Here we go. Watch out now. In your anger, don't sin. You can be angry, but don't sin. It says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Because the devil coming after you. See, your anger is going to provide opportunity for you to grow. Paul describes a church like a body. Members of the church supporting each other. Members like my body, and you notice sometimes the members of the church ain't perfect. So, can I get a witness, Tommy? You with me? Some of these members got a few flaws. I'm finding that as I get older, I got my members of my body, I got flaws. And when I find a flaw, I start working on it real quick. Because I don't want it to get worse. Amen? To find something to fix it. And so, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, man, you got a problem in the church, get on it, fix it. You got frustration, you got anger, don't let it go. Don't let it sit, it could just get worse. Fester. Writer of Hebrews says, chapter 12, verse 15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root. Now, we're not talking about a tree. We're talking about bitterness that comes up in your heart. No bitter root grows up and cause trouble and defile the people around you. You got anger? Fix it. You got a problem? Deal with it, because if you don't, it's going to give the devil an inroad into your life. He's going to come in and block your progress into the kingdom. He's the ruler of the world, and it is your grip on the world that is going to get in the way of your grasp on the kingdom. Now, we got some people that are letting go of their grip and grasping onto the kingdom. One of them happens to be Dana Collins.
Dana.
Yeah. Come on up here, Dana. In fact, I was talking to Dana and the girls downstairs about this messages for this series. And she's like, we got to talk about conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because I got some. Tell us what happened with your neighbor. And stand in the light over here, if you would. Tell us what happened with your neighbor,
okay,
Dana.
Well, I have this neighbor that, you know, he's an okay neighbor. I just...
No. How long has he been your neighbor?
He's been my neighbor, well, I've lived
your
there.
Your whole life?
Not my whole life, but pretty much my whole life.
So he's been a neighbor for a long time.
He's been my parents' neighbor for a long time when I wasn't there. But, yeah, he's been around for a while. Anyway, so I, you know, he was fine with me. I was cool with him until one day my son and my sister were saying, he's this and he's that and he's this, and it started getting in my head. So I was being the worst neighbor in the world, right, Teddy? and you know, it's like I was mad at him because of his bird of paradise bushes that were in my driveway. And so I cut a couple of leaves down, and I'm like, you know, I can't do this anymore. I went up to his house. I was cooking myself some lunch. I said, I got to stop. Went over to his house, and I'm pounding, I'm like, Pat, hey, Pat. He's not answering the door. And I'm like, dude, where is he? So I'm popping, and then I go to his garage, and I'm like, Pat, are you home? He finally comes to the door, and I'm like, you know, I need to apologize to you because I'm not a very good neighbor. I said, you know, and you're a good neighbor. And I said, I want to be a good neighbor. I'm sorry. I said, it's just, I've been listening to too many things, maybe ask excuse, but you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And he's all, you know, thank you so much for telling me that. You know, and then he...
No, he said maybe the basis of this was somebody called the city on oil leaking out of her sister's car.
Yeah, she had to scrub the street, actual street of the oil
and
out of
saying,
it.
And it was Pat.
They said it was him.
It
and
was
I'm like,
Pat.
I don't
We're
know that it was him.
Pat.
You know, yeah. And, it's like,
and they don't even know. It might not. Might have been Pat. Might have been.
Yeah.
And so you apologize to him, and then what?
And then you know, and we have this little problem with the bird of paradise. So, he after that he was like every day or on the weekend when he had off or whatever he started trimming every single one of his bird of paradise. So now they look really pretty, and they're not in the one. They're not in my driveway anymore. But I had swept. There was a bunch of them laying around. I was like, you know, I'm just gonna sweep this up and throw them away in my trash. I'm not gonna put it back in his yard. I'm just going to throw them away where they belong.
Nice you neighbor, you know, throwing his stuff.
I would, you know, it's like, yeah, but now, you know, it's all good. Now I give them stuff when I get stuff from the food program, and we're good. We're good now.
But you said, and you said it was tearing you up in your heart.
It was, man. It was just like, oh, I had to, it was one of the hardest things I ever did was go up to his door and apologize to him because I was not nice. I wasn't, you know, but I realized I just thought, and while I was making lunch, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. It's just not right, you know. So I had to go up there. It was hard, but it was worth it.
And it's good now.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah,
yes, yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, and if you're complaining to anybody about this message, Dana was the one who brought it up. All righty. Jesus opens the way. The Holy Ghost conviction on Dana.
Open the way.
Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 through 14. So in everything. Doesn't say some things. You know, Peter said, he has given us everything we need. Amen. We go, yeah, we want everything. And he says here, so in everything, some of us don't want so much everything now. He says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You've heard that before, right? Golden rule. This is not on Cheech and Chong, by the way. Some of you were not here for the opening of the service, you can tell. Anyway, it's not on tape. For this sums up the law and the prophets. You want to wrap up the whole Old Testament? Treat other people how you want to be treated. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few are on it. You're looking for more. There's more that's in the Lord. Jesus gives us that golden rule. Do unto others. Do this, and you're going to be lining out most of the Old Testament. Now there are, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There are some limits on this. This does not cover two guys sitting in a bar, one guy going to the other one, I think you need a double shot of Jack Daniels. I'm just going to hook you up. Right? I don't cover that. See, because the world, your grip on the world is going to get in the way of your grasp on the kingdom. Right? And the world is about what they can get. And Jesus is talking here about what you can give. Jesus is talking about what you can surrender. And the world gives so that they can get. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you ought to just give away stuff and not even expect to get paid back. The world says, what? How can I make any money doing that? See, the world is in direct opposition to the kingdom. Narrow is the road. Not many on it. Pointing you to the divine nature. It is the sacrifice of Christ that gets you on that narrow road. And it is your sacrifice that moves you down that road into the divine nature. Amen? Ask you again this morning, why are you here today? Narrow road? Wide road. Keep going. Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it was said to people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. And again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the courts. And anyone says, you fool, in Greek that's moros, moron, will be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember your neighbor, Pat. If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave the altar. Leave your gift at the altar, and first go be reconciled to them, and then come back to the altar and leave your gift. Jesus pointing us into a different direction for us to find more. Your brother or sister has something against you. They are angry at you. You go fix it. Here, Jesus is linking anger with murder. Similar way that he links lust with adultery. He says, your brother or sister is in danger of judgment because of something that you did. They are angry with you because of something that you did or because of something that you did not do. Fix it. And he says, don't come in here. Having offended your brother or sister, thinking we got something going on. He says, this tension between them, another believer, and you is going to pollute your time here. Don't play like we got something going on, and you know you got that going on too. You're saying, what? You see how big that tithe check is I made today? That tithe check ain't going to pay your way into the divine nature. You can't harbor all this worldly stuff going on. You can't be grabbing on to the world. It's going to mess your grasp up on the kingdom. You want to participate in the divine nature, you're going to have to be reconciled to that guy. You're going to have to be reconciled to that gal. I don't really know what reconcile means. Well, let me help you out. It means changing enmity for friendship. There's a whole lot of stuff wrapped up in this. Forgiveness, repentance, confession. You think, I'm not very good at that. Right. That's why you don't got everything that the Lord has given you. What are you here for today? I didn't come here to learn about forgiveness. I don't mind getting some, but don't be talking to me about giving some. Repentance? When are we going to start serving burgers? I'm about done with church. When are you going to say, can I get an amen on that? Yeah, I'm amen for burger time. What are you here for today? See, it's the things of the world. They're going to keep you out of that divine nature. Tommy Banks. Where is Tommy Banks? Go get that man. Hurry up. Tommy Banks. I can't believe that. Frustrated. Friction. Okay, I got to tell you Tommy's story. Tommy comes in for prayer last night. I had this perfectly other good story that I knew. Anyway, he says, I was injured. And he's got this, you might have even seen it if you shook his hand. He's got this big old bandage on his thumb. And he had been off for a couple of days. And he goes in and he works in the mental ward. And he's probably got a better name for it. But psych ward, anyway, there's challenged people that are there. And he goes around to meet the people that are there. And he meets this new guy. And the guy just kind of turns his back to him. And so, I can't believe they haven't found him yet. So anyway, the dude starts freaking out. And Tommy's part of the freak out squad. And he grabs the dude, right? And the guy bites off his thumb. Well, okay. See, that's a problem, telling the story that Tommy just stole last night at prayer. He bit through his thumb nail, which sounds joyous, right? I mean, okay, it's not the whole tip, but he's got this big old Band-Aid on wrapped around his thumb. Is this the Band-Aid man right here? Right there. Come here, Band-Aid man. And so, yes, come up here. I told him he was going to do this. Show him your thumb. And I got to the bit through the nail and the tip. And the guy says, wait. And what does the guy say?
He says, so how do you feel now that I bit your thumb off? And so I was looking down. I was in shock, and I was looking down to see if he actually had bit my thumb off because it was so much pain. But it was... Thank God it was just a nail and part of the skin that's underneath. So
it wasn't hurting at all?
Not then, no.
Yeah.
But later on, the pain and the throbbing, just like, you know, like I had been hit with a hammer on my thumb. So, but praise God, it was just a nail down to the half of the nail. So
and I went to, he went to the ER.
Went to the
for
ER.
4 hours.
For 4 hours. I stuck there. They gave me an IV, ran an IV. They gave me a tetanus shot. They drew my blood. They x-rayed it. And the doctor said, the good news, it'll grow back in about a year. So right underneath the...
Everything you need. Right,
right underneath the nail, he says it grows about a half an inch or something like that. So I was thinking, man, that's a long time to be without my nail. But I use, I work in the medical field, and I use this thumb to open medications because I work in nursing, so I have to open the pills. And it's difficult. It's going to be difficult for me. So I'm going to have to find another way to open those pill containers. So.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm not left-handed. But you need two. You need actually to be able to open it. You need to have that.
So in the morning, we're moving along now.
So in the morning, I went home. I got off at about 1:30. They let me go from the ER at about 1:30. So in the morning, when I went home, I couldn't sleep. I was like in turmoil. First of all, the pain, it was still throbbing, and also the anger that I was feeling at this guy. He took a lot of my time, plus the pain, and I know I'm...
Part of your thumb. I mean, that adds in right there.
Yeah, right there was enough, but he had assaulted two other people prior to me. So just having this anger toward this person and really wanting revenge, because I know the old me from the old school, when I had him down, I would have, I mean, you know, but praise God that, he's...
Just a second. I got that. It's your grip on the world that gets in the way of your grasp on the kingdom. As some people start rallying. Okay, well, there you go. Right. Old Tommy. Yeah, there you go.
So the old Tommy would have probably got in a couple of shots. But, you know, I was thinking that later on I couldn't sleep and I wasn't at peace. I was in turmoil, first of the thumb being in pain and then this anger toward this guy. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I have to forgive this person. I have to forgive him and let it go because I can't carry around this anger. And so, you know, there's a song I was telling people that came to the prayer yesterday that, you know, pain may be in the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Hallelujah.
You know that song that we turn trading my sorrows. So I traded that pain and my sorrows and my anger for the joy of the Lord. Praise God. And so that's what we should do. We should turn it over to him every opportunity. We don't carry that bitterness. We don't carry that unforgiveness because that is like poison. We're drinking poison thinking it's gonna harm the other person, but it's harming us.
Amen,
so
amen,
when we
amen.
Have the joy of the Lord, praise God, you have joy that unsurpassing joy. The world didn't give it to us, and it certainly can't take it away. Amen?
Amen, amen, amen. Now, Tommy was out doing usher stuff, so you can go back to your stuff. Thank you very much, Tommy. Hallelujah. Anyway, I didn't catch that. I don't need to catch that. All right, here we go. As Tommy stepped in, we got a need to step in. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 50. This then is how you should pray. We pray this way every morning. We have prayer right here at 9 o'clock. You are invited. You can join on Facebook. You can check in any time during the day. Our Father who art in heaven, you can join me with me if you would. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this is where the normal, the Lord's Prayer that we learn is from the church. In Matthew, it stops right here. And he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive, you won't be able to sleep. You'll be in turmoil. Your thumb will be hurting you all night. You won't be able to get along with your neighbor. You won't even be able to make lunch. It says, if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Jesus is saying you can ask for more. Tells us how we should pray. And he also tells us why we should pray. He talks about forgiveness being a key to eternity. Forgiveness is a key to participating in the divine nature. See, forgiveness will line you up, and unforgiveness will cross you off. And you know what? Jesus is not giving us any options. It's an in or out, up or down, got some or got none. See, they hung him on a cross, and they spit on him. And his response to their hatred was forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He hung on a cross and received the penalty for our sins. God wants us receiving forgiveness so we can be giving forgiveness. Jesus tells us that we're going to be hated and attacked because of him. He says, deal with it. Own it. You're going to move into divine nature. They hate you, persecute you, attack you. Take it. And I have to ask you this morning, why are you here today? I don't think anybody showed up to get attacked. We showed up to get everything. Oh, I'll take everything. Don't throw any attack in there. Persecution? No. I don't want to have to forgive anybody. Lord, forgive me! But don't ask me to forgive. That's not why I'm here today. Last thing I got for you. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. That sounds good. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. He says that we can get more and that we can be more. It was the last and greatest day of the feast. This was the Feast of Tabernacles. It is the last feast of the year. So it was the last day of the last feast of the year. They had had all the feasting they were going to have. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, the priests would take a golden pitcher and they would go in great procession to the pool of Siloam, and they would dip that pitcher into the pool, and they would come and they would march and they would go up to the altar. And every day of the feast, they would pour out this water in front of the altar, and it was the Feast of Tabernacles we've been reading in the book of Nehemiah in our daily readings. You can join us in that. Talks about the Feast of Tabernacles, and it is a celebration of God's provision as the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. And that he would provide water, and that he would provide food for them, and guided them daily and night, in the night by fire and day by cloud. And they celebrated that time, and they would live in these little tents, these little tabernacles. And they would take this water and they would say, oh, Lord, you're so good. You make this provision for us. And on the last day, after that last pitcher was poured out, and everybody was thinking, oh, the great provision of God, Jesus says, is anybody still thirsty? Is all this not enough? Let him come to me and drink, and he will become a supply of living water. Is anybody looking for more? I have more. Whoever believes in me will receive of the Holy Spirit. Whoever would let go of what you know would move into the divine nature. Maybe you come in here this morning and church is just not getting it done. The Lord says, are you thirsty? Some of you are thinking, yeah, that's what I came here for. I'll take a sip. I'll be back next week. Maybe the week after. I'll take a little drink. Is that what you're here for? A little sip? For some, that's enough. Jesus was talking that day for those who wanted more. You can play, Lisa. See, God has given us all we need. Everything we could ever want for that godly life. And so many of us are good with a sip. Come in here this morning. You're thinking, maybe you're thinking, that's not enough. I've been sipping too long. I've been trying to balance the world in my life and the Lord in my life too long. Oh, God. God, I want you to fill me up. And the Lord says this morning, oh, I've been wanting to fill you up. But what you got in your hand, what you drug in here this morning, it keeps you empty. Your grip on the world is getting in the way of your grasp on me. This morning you come in here and you are looking for more. Each one of us got some edges. Each one of us comes in a little bit rough. Lord says, I've been trying to smooth you out and clean you up all week. So busy, you don't got time. Moving so fast, you can't hear my voice. I'll fill you up. I'll fill you overflowing. But what you got in your hand, will you let it go? You got to let that go so you can grab onto me. You're here this morning saying, oh, God, I'm so thirsty. I walk around all day and I'm parched. I get a little sip here, I get a little sip. Lord, I got people around me that are starving. I got people that are around me that are so thirsty. Lord, I got to have something to give. And he says, I got everything you need. I've already given you everything you need for godliness, for the divine nature. But what do you got in your hand? Getting in the way. He says, you lay that down. You come to me, I'll fill you up. I'll fill you up, overflowing streams of rivers of living water will just flow from you. You transform your family. We come in, we get a little bit of sip, and then we take little thimblefuls and we go to our children and say, here's a little bit. Like little birds go, ah! Rivers of living water. Lord, I'm so thirsty. Lord, I'm so thirsty. What do you got in your hand this morning? What are you here for? You want rivers of living water. You want fullness, divine nature in your life. You want to move into the kingdom of God It is right here. There is nothing holding you back. You say, Lord, Lord, Lord. Lord, I want it all. Lord, teach me, Lord. Lord, He says, you want it? What about that thing you got going on? What about that thing you got going on with your sister, your brother, your neighbor, the dude who bit your thumb off, man? You can't have all that stuff rolling on and try and get all this fullness. Forgiveness, confession, repentance. It'll hold you back. It'll keep you dry. Devil got a foothold in your life, that bitterness, that root of bitterness just creeping up all over you. Don't come in here and play nice and know you got all that other garbage going on. Don't think a tithe is going to fix me up. Don't think a little gift at the altar. Don't think taking some presents down to some kids in Nicaragua. They're going to fill you up. Now, I like all that stuff. Send a bunch of stuff down to Nicaragua. You don't need any stuff in your life. You got so much stuff. He says, in fact, you've got everything you need. You start dealing with some of this stuff. Guy bit off Tommy's thumb. Dana's sister had to clean her road. My, oh, my. How easy it is for the devil to get us off track. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. Thirsty people, hungry people, Lord. Starving people, Lord. Wanting to be transformed. I hope that's why you're here. I hope you're here because you're starving. I hope you're here because you're so thirsty you can't handle it anymore. Say, Lord, I want brand new life in you, Lord. I'm gonna forgive that person that did this petty little thing to me because you hung on a cross, Lord. Set me free, Lord. I'm going to be cut off from the cross because my stinking neighbor has some bird of paradises that scratched my car. Because some literally crazy dude bit my thumb off. Lord, I'm going to learn how to forgive.